Dear congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is a privilege for me to address you as such, and it is a joy for us and who have accompanied me to be here. And as we consider God's holy word, we want to particularly proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is why I thought that the first sermon that I would preach would be precisely about the Lord Jesus Christ, who has declared himself to be the true vine. And so now, when I look back on where we have lived in the Niagara Peninsula, it places in surroundings which were actually very similar to Israel. The Niagara Peninsula compared to Israel? Well, in some way, yes, we can say that. Because we too, when we lived there, we were surrounded with vineyards all around us, even as you would go there see it today. Grapes and wine have been the Niagara Peninsula's popular area for visitors, and wine tasting tours are advertised far and wide. Now, as you may know, vineyards were and still are a very common scene in Palestine, especially in the area of Galilee, the northern part of Israel, Galilee. Now, in his teaching and in his preaching ministry, the Lord Jesus Christ often used examples from nature and from the things around him as illustrations in order to make the word he preached more clear to the people who were around him. In John chapter 15 here, as we have read it, the Lord Jesus Christ uses therefore the illustration of a vineyard and of the cultivation of grapes to describe what he means by true, genuine Christianity. Well now, basic to our understanding is therefore the illustration that the Lord Jesus Christ is the vine. He is the vine. B, his followers are the branches. And C, that God is the vine dresser. So that is what we have to keep in mind. So as goal of this illustration, therefore, is summed up in verse 8 of our text passage, where the Lord Jesus says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." Well, let us then carefully consider these words of the Lord Jesus Christ in the following way. And we have a theme and then 3 points. The vine and his branches and the vine dresser. That's our theme. And then 3 points. An intimate relationship. Secondly, an evident proof. And then thirdly, a sobering reality. So first then, we want to consider an intimate relationship. Now, congregation, notice first of all that the Lord Jesus Christ describes himself as the vine. I am the vine. Now, as you may know already from the Gospel of John, the Lord Jesus Christ often used this term, I am, ego eimi in Greek, I am. He used that term often. And it spells out who he is. It's God's self-revelation, so to speak. He says, I am. You may meet up with that term, particularly in the Gospel of John, time and time again. I am the good shepherd. I am the door. I am the bread of life. I am the water of life, and so on. The I am comes out time and time again from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here in our text passage, Jesus Christ identifies himself as the true vine. And he says, I am the vine. Now, think therefore of a grape vine, a gnarled trunk with roots that are very deep into the ground, solid, steady, and life-sustaining. Now, this is then a picture of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. He compares himself to a grape vine, or as he calls himself in verse 1, the true vine. Jesus Christ, you see, he alone is the solid, the steady one, the immovable one. He is the source, he is also the sustainer of life as well, and everything having to do with spiritual life and having to do with physical life flows through him and flows from him to us, you and me. In Jesus Christ, the true vine, we have therefore a very telling picture of life. You're my life. We have here a marvelous picture of the source of an intimate and a very stable relationship. Now, this is therefore, I trust, for you and for me, an encouraging picture to look at for a little bit. Now, in contrast, let me say that as well, in contrast, this world is a picture of great instability. The world is a picture, as you know it, a picture of death and destruction, of hopelessness, even a picture of despair. Just listen to the news, and every day you'll hear of one or more murders in any of our big cities here in Canada and in the United States. Besides this, this world that we live in today has become geared to the destruction of relationships, to the destruction of relation between men and women, and particularly the relationship between blacks and whites. We are all one together in this. We are, whatever color, whatever nationality we are one before the Lord. And I want to emphasize this as also here, dear people. But the world doesn't see it that way anymore. It wants to divide and it wants to destroy. Self-destruction also comes in different ways, through drug overdoses and becomes an epidemic of sorts. And why do we hear so much of suicides among teens and even preteens, especially in our native communities? They look at this world and it leaves them with no hope. Now, I am somewhat acquainted with our northern native communities because I go and minister regularly to our natives, and I hope to go there again also in December again, way up north, very, very cold, but there is when I have the privilege of preaching to our native brothers and sisters there. But I've heard something of the hopelessness that exists there, especially amongst the younger natives. And I feel so sad for them when I hear that. Therefore, it is well for you and for me to keep our focus on Jesus Christ. Why? Well, because he is the picture of life, dear brothers and sisters. Like a living grapevine, like a true vine. And then we are told that believers are the vine branches as well. The vine branches. And again, think of those grapevine branches, literally translated in our verses as twigs. They're small, they're tiny in comparison to the vine. They're not very strong in themselves. They need all the support that they can possibly get. If you are familiar at all with grapevines, you know that wires have to be put up from pole to pole to pole, and those vine branches then have those wires all along, and they even have to tie the branches onto those wires as well. And so they need all the outside support that they can possibly get in order to become functional vine branches. Functional vine branches, required even to be supported in small ways. But obviously, inward support is the most highly needed support that they can get. And as you know, inward support particularly is obtained through being organically attached to the vine, the true vine. And in our text passage, therefore, we are told that we are to abide in the vine. Well, now, this is what the Lord Jesus Christ wants you and me to know. He is the true vine, and believers are like branches or twigs. They're small, they're vulnerable, and they're in need of constant support. But, and this is of course the hopeful thing, believers are attached to the Lord Jesus Christ. If they are true believers, they're attached to Him, and that not in a loose way, but they are attached to Him in a spiritually organic way, in a living way. And how are they attached to Him, you might ask? Well, they are attached to Him through abiding in Him and He abiding in them. Well, then, what does it mean to abide in Christ and have Christ abiding in us? And I believe that the answer can also be found here, particularly in verse 7, where Jesus Christ says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you." Well, let me go into a little bit of detail here. To abide in Jesus Christ means, first of all, to have His words dwelling in you. Abiding in Jesus Christ, therefore, also means to have a healthy attachment to His Word, the Scriptures, the Bible. Abiding in Christ means to have a healthy attachment to the Word that He gives to us through our reading and through the preaching of the Word. A healthy attachment, which means, of course, that we have a need for that Word, and that we have a hunger for that Word, and that we have a love for that Word. And therefore, a good indication of you being a genuine Christian, dear brothers and sisters, is what do you do and how do you esteem the Word of God? True indication will tell you that you love the Word of God. And therefore, and some application here, be also disciplined in reading your Bible regularly. Don't ever lay it aside as irrelevant or as unnecessary. It is part and parcel of abiding in Christ, you see, and of Him abiding in you. And that's foundational to having an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Matthew Henry, one of the old-time favorite Bible expositors and explainers, explains that our union with Christ, so he says, is maintained by the Word, for it is in the Word that Christ is set before us and offered to us. It is in the Word that we receive and embrace Jesus Christ. Where God, where the Word of Christ dwells richly, there Christ dwells. If the Word is our constant guide and monitor, if the Word is at home in us, then we abide in Jesus Christ. So far, Matthew Henry. So, therefore, to abide in Jesus Christ means to have an active, living, abiding in His Word and trusting in His Word. But also, and this is the second thing, to abide in Christ means also to have an active, fervent prayer life. Because the Lord Jesus says here in the text as well, that if you abide in Him and His Word abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. As a true Christian, therefore, abiding in Jesus Christ, you will want what He wants. And your heart's desire will be to live to His delight. You will find yourself, therefore, regularly in prayer to have His grace to live in you regularly. You'll be in prayer, that is, in communion with the Lord Jesus Christ regularly. You'll be in contact with Jesus Christ regularly. Abiding in Christ, therefore, means maintaining a healthy, active prayer life, dear friends. Dialogue with one who will never tire of hearing you. He will never become weary of listening to you. In fact, it means dialoguing with the one who loves to hear your voice and who loves to hear what you are thinking. And who loves to answer you, by the way, as well. And so, dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, cultivate and maintain this type of prayer life. It cultivates and maintains an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, there's yet a third meaning to abiding in Christ. It means to have the love of Jesus Christ in you and to continue in that love. He says so in verse 9, "As my Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love." And so, as true Christians, you love the Lord Jesus Christ, don't you? Psalm 116 says it so beautifully. We've sung it already. "I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplication." I love the Lord. It's good to be able to say that. You love him. Why? Because he is your hero. Because he sacrificed himself for you. He did things that you could not possibly do. He got you out of the way of danger. Now, you will remember that whenever we celebrate Remembrance Day and stand silently for a couple of minutes, we honor those who have given their lives, especially those who have given their lives in the last two world wars. And we respect them, and we also consider their heroic actions, and we thank God for them. But how much more should you and I respect the Lord Jesus Christ? He sacrificed himself. He gave his life for you and for me. And that while we were still enemies, sinners. The Apostle Paul says it so beautifully, doesn't he, in Romans 5, verse 8. "But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Oh yes, we have our heroes on this earth, and we honor them. But surely, Jesus Christ should have the highest honors from you and from me. He deserves our love, doesn't he? He deserves it. Abiding in Christ, therefore, means loving him. And that, too, is part of our intimate relationship with him. And that intimate relationship with him needs to be nurtured so that it will continue. Knowing that he loves us should therefore motivate you and me to keep trusting in him and to stay close to him at all times. Because after all, if you love someone, you don't want to be far apart from each other for a long time. You want to be close. Now, one of the sad things that the Lord Jesus Christ sees in his church is that those in his church who once loved him fervently in their early days of faith, they spoke of him in glowing terms to everyone who wanted to listen to them. They sang of him in their love for him, and they sang to him in their love for him. But as time wore on, they cooled in their love for Jesus Christ, like those in the church of Ephesus, so we are told, who actually left their first love. Dear brothers and sisters, don't let this happen to any of you. And when you sense that something like that is happening to you, or if others notice it on you, yes, there's something going on with you, you're beginning to depart from the love of Christ, then Christ will tell you, "Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works." And so, abiding in Jesus Christ means to have an intimate relationship with him through faithfully reading his word, through regular prayer contact with him, and also through love for him and who loves you. Well, now, in the second place, consider abiding in Christ an evident proof. What is the evident proof that you are abiding in Jesus Christ? Well, it is to be seen in your fruit bearing. Your living, abiding connection makes you a fruit-bearing Christian. Just like the branch is attached to the vine, receiving its life juices up from the vine, such a branch will then also in due time bear fruit, you see. And as you abide in Jesus Christ, the fruit of such abiding will begin to grow and develop on you and in you as well. Now, what kind of fruit, you ask? Well, that's actually quite simple. It is the Christian fruit, or the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and so on. You see, Christianity, and you know this, but let me just remind you of it again, Christianity is a rather unique religion. It is totally different from any other religion in this world. Every religion in this world that is not Christianity has the idea of, well, what's in it for me? If I do this, I'll get that. If I don't this, then it won't happen to me. It is all self-work, self-doing, self-pleasing, self-this and self-that. That is not the Christian religion. The Christian religion is Christ, Jesus Christ, and Him alone. True biblical religion, dear people, takes the cue from Jesus Christ and has a mentality, how can Jesus Christ benefit from me? How can others benefit from me being a Christian? How can my neighbor benefit from me being a Christian? And the answer is this, that Jesus Christ and my neighbor will benefit from me as a Christian. How? When I bear much fruit. And so, dear brothers and sisters, let your Christianity be fruit-bearing Christianity. And it will be fruit-bearing Christianity if it is Christ-abiding Christianity. No one will force the fruit out of you, the fruit of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, and so on and so forth. It will not be forced out of you. No one will force you. Such fruit, you see, will show up quite of itself as you abide in Christ. Such fruit will come spiritually, if I may say it this way, natural to you. Why? Because the organic connection to Jesus Christ is a fruit-producing connection. When you are attached to Christ, there will be fruit. And this is what it means to abide in Him and He abiding in you. That's what it's all about, you see. It will be evident proof that you are therefore a genuine Christian. And therefore, let us ask, am I a fruit-bearing Christian? Ask that of yourself. But now, what about the vine dresser? Let me speak to you about that in the third place, briefly. This takes me to a sobering reality. Our text also speaks about the vine dresser. As I said earlier, before, the vine dresser is God. And Jesus Christ makes this very clear here in our text passage. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So, the vine dresser does the work of taking away or of cutting off branches and of pruning branches. Now, God, the vine dresser, cuts off every branch that does not bear fruit. And why does it not bear fruit? Well, because it was only outwardly attached to the vine. It did not have any inward attachments to the vine. There was no abiding quality in this attachment whatsoever. Well, now, you might ask, well, how does this relate to you and me as a Christian? Well, if you are a Christian in name only and have no abiding, fruit-bearing faith in Jesus Christ, your confession is only an outward confession. Then God, the great vine dresser, will come by one day and he will cut you off with all the other fruitless and dead members. And this is not my word, but this is the word of the Lord Jesus Christ. He tells us in verse 6, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Now, this is a sharp warning to everyone who claims to be Christian without abiding in Christ. And that's a warning for each one of us. But God, the vine dresser, will also visit the fruit-bearing branches as well, who are abiding in the vine. In other words, God will visit you, dear brother and sister in the faith. God will visit you as well as a vine dresser. All you need to do is read verse 2. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. God, the vine dresser, you see, will visit you who have made a genuine confession of your abiding attachment to the Lord Jesus Christ. And yes, he will rejoice in the fruit that you are bearing. But at the same time, he will come to you time and time again to prune you so that you will bear more fruit. And such fruit, such pruning, can at times be rather painful. When a secret sin has to be exposed, when that secret sin has to be cut out, or when a weakness to a temptation needs to be cut back. As I said, pruning can then be painful, but necessary in God's eyes, necessary so that there will be more fruit in seasons to come. Therefore, dear brothers and sisters, keep abiding in Jesus Christ, the vine. Feed on him. Love him with all of your heart. Stay in prayerful communication with the Lord Jesus Christ. Be thankful that he has chosen you to be one of those living branches of the vine. Submit to his pruning without complaining, and promote this work of the vine dresser by bearing much fruit, and cause him to be joyful in it. By this, so says Jesus Christ, my Father is glorified, and you will be my disciples. Finally, you who do not yet know what it means to abide in Christ, you at this moment would have to say, I don't have a clue what this man is talking about. You who are not yet part of the grapevine and the grape branch, you are still just a piece of broken branch lying on the ground. In other words, you cannot yet be called a true Christian in any sense of its meaning. Listen, there's hope for you. There's hope for you. Contrary to nature, God can take you as a broken and dead branch, and he can actually graft you into the vine, Jesus Christ. Contrary to nature, it is a miracle that only God can perform. But he would be most pleased to perform this miracle in your life. Perhaps you do feel like a broken and dead branch. Perhaps you do feel like you're soon going to be raked up and thrown on a pile of broken and dead branches and thrown into the fire. Here is the preacher's advice, and I believe it to be biblical advice. Go to God and speak to him about your brokenness, speak to him about your deadness, and about your fear of someday being gathered up and be thrown in the fire. The Bible speaks, therefore, of repenting of your sin. The Lord Jesus speaks of repent of your sin. And repenting, what does it mean? It basically means confessing to God that you are sorry about who you have been and what you are. That you're sorry about your sins. That's what repenting is all about. And as you speak to God then about what you have heard about Jesus Christ this hour, that he is a great and marvelous Savior, and that you too would want to be saved, tell him that. The Bible speaks, therefore, of this as believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? Because of who God is, as he has stated this himself, he is a gracious God. He is a forgiving God. He is a merciful God. That is how God wants to be known to you and to me. And when you trust in those words, you too will be saved. You too will be saved. He will graft you into that vine, Jesus Christ, by the power of his Holy Spirit. He will cause you to abide in the vine, Jesus Christ, by the life-giving work of the Holy Spirit. He will make you a fruit-bearing branch of the fruit-producing qualities of the Holy Spirit. And so you see, there is hope for all of us. Don't pass up this offer of grace. This is an offer that the Lord Jesus Christ shed his blood for on the cross of Golgotha and Calvary. This is why he sacrificed himself as the great victim, as the greatest victim of man's cruelty. And therefore, the call comes to each one of us, repent and believe, and you will be saved. And the fear of getting burned up will be taken away. It will be replaced by a grand perspective of living eternally with a loving God, loving the Lord Jesus Christ, beholding the glory of God upon the face of Jesus Christ, and living to the praise of his name. In the meanwhile, you will bear much fruit. And it will be a pleasure to yourself. It will be a pleasure to others. And God, the grain vine dresser, will be totally delighted with your fruit bearing. And as the Lord says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. May the Lord bless each and every one of us with his word as it came, especially through the word of Jesus Christ.